You touch a key, and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust. Except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on FM News Talk 92.3. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors, Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome to another edition of the Computer Corner. Ken Colburn actually is, in Las Vegas. He said he was going to play golf, but I'm guessing given the weather, golf is probably not in his future. Instead,
gambling.
You know what? He's at that Lake Las Vegas place outside of Las Vegas.
Outside, yeah.
So I think it's like more of a resort. He's probably getting like facials and pedicures and real manly stuff.
Nice.
We're gonna stick with that story until proven otherwise.
But, sounds good to me.
Fear not, data doctors are in the house today. It's myself, Brandon Disney, and I'm joined by Brian Ellison.
You betcha.
And Mario is over on the other side of the glass helping to screen some calls and get things lined up, and then he'll be joining us here in studio as well as the show kind of progresses. If you're new to the show, let's throw out kind of our ground rules. Not even ground rules. Let's just tell you about what the show's about. So obviously, you know, because we're on FM News Talk 92.3,
mm-hmm.
that it's a quality show about technology and about computers. And
is it really a quality show? It's a quality station.
Do you think KTR puts on things other than quality shows?
Sorry, yes, it's a very quality show.
So we've been here for just over a decade doing a quality show.
True.
If anyone wants to argue with that, you're free to do so, and the number to do so is 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. But we talk about computers. We talk about technology, especially this time of year. We talk about maybe some of the new things that are out there, things that you're looking for. You're looking at gift purchases for the holidays. Can we say for Christmas?
We should say for Christmas.
Can we say for just Christmas, or do we have to say for the holidays, and then we have to say Hanukkah and Christmas and Ramadan? Is that even a holiday around this time of year? I don't know.
We're not a political show, are we?
No, we're not.
I was going to stand on the soapbox, but I guess not.
No.
Okay. Let's stick to technology.
If you're thinking about those gifts for someone in your life or for yourself, this time of year there are deals to be had, and we're the guys to help steer you clear of the bad deals, point you in the direction of the good deals, tell you about the things that really are worth looking at and some of the things that aren't worth looking at. And specifically this week, we're talking about what not to buy for the holidays. There's all kinds of
good ones out there to tell them not to buy.
Yeah, there's all kinds of shows out there. There's all kinds of articles you'll see. There's all kinds of things that talk about the top 10 gifts or the things to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, you know, there's so much information out there on what to buy that probably you're already in good shape. So let's talk about some of the things that are the flops, the things that maybe in years past were the two-buys, but this year are not, or the new things that are out that you may be thinking about that maybe are on the top of the not-two-buy list. And so that's the theme of today's show, and if you've got your own thoughts on what not to buy, or you're interested in what to buy, you have questions about that new bit of technology that you're looking at, that you're shopping for, and you want some resources on where you can find more information, well, we're one of those resources. And you can talk to us here again, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. We're here for a full 2 hours. And if your question isn't about that, if it's just about, you know, the error message you're getting or defrag can't complete or what antivirus should I be using because I know I need something or whatever your technology / computer / gadget question is, this is the place for you.
Definitely.
You can also join us online. Our website is datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section, and you'll see links that we've provided there for you. We'll talk about some of those there, what not to buy for the holidays. You'll also see a sneak preview of our Geek Speak of the Week, and you'll see links there to listen live in case your radio's not functioning so hot for you. You can listen live, and we stream the show there. Also, you can go back in time to previous shows, and we have previous shows and the topics and the resources and the audio archives all there for you to check out and listen to as well. And starting fairly soon here, we're looking at some technology to be able to bring you a sort of simulcast. So what you'll hear here, you'll also be able to see through the web and through that web page.
Oh, man.
And there'll be some live video streaming coming out of the studios here as the show kind of progresses.
We're really trying to hurt people now, aren't we?
Yeah, we're actually testing that today, but it's not something that you can see on the public side of things. So it's underway, and if things go well, then starting next week we'll have that up and running, and you'll be able to see. and we're still trying to figure
we're
out
lose losers or lose I should say listeners.
lose listeners
over that, that's for sure.
Well, what we're really trying to figure out, the most important part is, okay, so while we're doing the broadcast, people can hear and see, and we've actually figured out how to synchronize that so that can hear and see together. And that may be kind of cool for some people to kind of see what's, kind of happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that we come and we talk on the radio, but we come dressed for, well, not for success, we'll say.
Yeah, no.
But we're really trying to figure out, what do we do during the commercial breaks? Because, as you well know, because you're here.
Oh, yeah.
Commercial breaks are where we recharge our batteries. We recaffeinate. We take care of whatever business needs to be taken care of. And so during those commercial breaks, I don't know that we want to broadcast that.
I would definitely want there to be a pause button.
So we'll figure that out. If you've got your question, your call, your what not to buy for the holidays, as you hear the show progress, 602-277-5827. Commit it to memory. All those lines are full as we speak. So
nice job, guys. That's awesome.
You've booked them up for us. But you can also join us online, datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section, and you'll see links there to ask a question. And we'll be checking out those. They beam to us here in the studios through the worldwide wonder of the web. So we can check those things out. We'll talk about some of those things as we kind of go. As we also mentioned, our Geek Speak of the Week, we have our Head Whack of the Week. We have lots and lots and lots of stuff coming up for you. But most importantly, it's the things not to buy. And perhaps at the top of that list. Normally these lists start at the bottom and work their way up to the number one, but mm-hmm. we take them in no particular order. There's a rumor out there.
Oh, it's substantiated.
I don't know if it's quite confirmed, but it's a rumor that I would be surprised if it wasn't confirmed very soon. That a computer retailer
that's no longer in Phoenix.
Yeah, we won't name exactly who it is, but they have part of the word computer in their name, and then USA for the United States of America.
Jeez. Boy, good thing you didn't give the name away there, Brandon.
Right. So they recently, maybe, 6 months ago or so, mm-hmm. closed locations. They closed about 100 locations around the country, and Phoenix was one of the markets that they just kind of shut down.
And just shy of half the stores.
Yeah. So the rumor is that the rest of those stores will be... Well, they're no longer resupplying them, and they expect the current supply and inventory and things to run out somewhere in early February, perhaps. So,
I heard January 1 was a...
January 1, wow.
Yeah,
so the top of the list of what not to buy for the holidays is a gift card to that store for someone, because they may or may not be able to redeem that at some point in the future.
Yeah, and if they're offering warranties, if you go in there, make sure that they're a third party that's going to honor those, because they're not going to.
Now, on the flip side of that, if you're in a market where those things are available, and for those of you listening in Tucson, I know the signal carries that far, there are still some of those stores down there, and they probably have some pretty smoking deals on some things. And I would just pay real special close attention to your ability to return and warranty policies and things along those lines. So you can check those things out. But as the show progresses again, we'll talk more about what not to buy for the holidays. It is the Data Doctors.
Yeah, yeah.
Brandon and Brian, we're here until 2 o'clock, and we're going to talk to you about the what not to buy, but talking to you about what not to do when you're driving. That's where Ray Garner comes in the KTR Traffic Center. He can help you navigate the streets. Ray, tell him what's happening in the streets. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. You're listening
to KTAR.
You are, but you're either listening through the airwaves FM 92.3 or through the internet. We thank you for that.
Tough
by
night.
The way, somebody dropped out on the phones, so there is a line open for you if you're interested. 602-277-5827. It's 277 KTAR.
I've actually got a couple buddies down in Florida listening for the first time over the internet, and they're actually saying that it's a very interesting way to do things. They've never done this, so.
Listening through the internet?
Yeah.
They've never done it?
They've never done that.
Well, if you're in Florida, if you're in Kazakhstan, if you're in... we've had people call in from the United Arab Emirates. We've had people call in from Scotland. We've had people call from Canada. We've had people call all the way from Chandler, Arizona. I mean, we've had people from all over.
And you took the call from Canada?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
We took the UAE call live on the air. The guy figured out the time zone difference. He listened online all the time, figured out the time zone difference and called. And, I mean, just insanity.
That's pretty pimp.
So wherever it is that you are and you want to hook up those digits, if you're dialing internationally, it's, I think it's just, what?
011.
And then the 602-277-5827.
I still have to look. Yeah, that would be it.
Well, you can figure out how to call the U.S., I'm sure, right? I mean, nobody in the U.S. knows how to call anywhere, but everywhere knows how to call the U.S.
Really?
I think that's the way things work. I mean, everybody knows English, but we don't know anybody else's language because...
So our country code is just kind of the universal country code everybody knows?
I think it has to do with the telephone being invented here. That's why we get the one.
You're a great American, Brandon.
Well,
awesome.
Something like that. But if you're from places far away and you let Mario know that, he'll make sure that we prioritize your call so that your long-distance bill doesn't get out of control.
Definitely.
So anyway, take us up on
Depending upon where you're calling from. Just kidding.
Well, I said people can call away as far as, like, Chandler, which is insane. That's a whole other city.
It is?
Can you believe that?
No.
Yeah. It's like that other country, Texas.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're talking about what not to buy for the holidays, and we talked a little bit about that store that's rumored to be going the rest out of business and the rest of their stores, and maybe the gift card to that store is probably not the best choice because they just may not be around to redeem that.
Yes.
That gift card. I wonder if they even offer those gift cards.
I don't think they're real high in integrity if they're going out of... Well, never mind. I don't know. I'm just making up stuff.
If you'd like to join us online and see our links this week, you can do so at datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see things like the 5 reasons not to buy an iPhone.
Only
remember,
5?
we're doing what not to buy. We have smartmoney.com's 5 gadgets not to buy.
Nice.
Whether or not you want the Xbox 360 new arcade version, whether you care. And we're saying maybe that's something you shouldn't buy. There's all kinds of things there that we'll talk about again as the show progresses, and you'll also be able to see a sneak peek of this week's Geek Speak of the Week. And by the way, we definitely invite you to participate in a new feature that we have there at our website. When you're at the radio show section, you can see under the feedback area, there's a place for you to link to our blog where you can put in your own comments and thoughts and those things as you post them. We don't even moderate them. We're that confident that you have the ability to put in good thoughts, and so you can put those in, and other viewers and listeners will be able to see those, and we'll talk about those if people want to throw some comments up live on the air as well. Again, I'll remind you of the phone number, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTR. With that, we'll take Bill, who's up first here on the computer corner. Bill?
Yes, gentlemen.
Welcome, sir.
Hi, my subject is a little off than what you're talking about today.
Well, do you want to know, is there anything on your list that you want to know whether or not you should be or shouldn't be even considering it as far as technology things for the holidays?
Not right this second. I'm in a civil case where someone's claiming I went on their computer from my computer.
You went on their computer from your computer?
They claim that I have my footprints on their computer.
All right. Is this like through the internet or?
Through the internet.
Huh. You sneaky Bill.
The thing is, I never did it. It's going through a divorce through a friend out of state. And what happened was the spouse copied all the emails from the wife's computer, forwarded them to his computer in his office. And he claims that I went on his computer in his office. He says my footprints are on his computer 3,000 times, which is impossible.
Huh.
How does someone do that? How does someone go about? He said he had a professional forensic expert check the computers and said that I went on his computer.
Is that you physically, like, were sitting in front of it and doing things,
no,
or you
no,
were
from my remote? I place spyware on his computer, remotely accessed his office computer by doing that.
Well, there. So, I
how do I defend myself on something like that?
I think you get an attorney that that can help you do that. It's going to be a pretty tough thing to prove that you've done that, and luckily for you, the burden of proof is on his side, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are so many ways that things can be concealed these days, and the internet, it's not as anonymous as we might like to think, but at the same time, I think somebody's going to have a hard time showing that, that you've done something. And if you really haven't, get yourself a good attorney, and I think you'll be in great shape.
No, I haven't. I never did it. But the thing is there a way for them to place that on the hard drive? Is there a way for them to type it in and change the dates?
Well, sure, anything can be done from that regard. But also any expert that really knows what they're doing in that field ought to be able to detect those things. And anybody that practices what we call data forensics, that's... that's where you're looking at those pieces and trying to put things back together, and that's the direction. It's like technology and Santa wrapped up into one.
Good Lord, what does it come to?
I don't know. Pete's spinning some good 45s over there. Nice. He had to go in the Wayback Machine to find this stuff, I think.
Awesome.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're here till 2 o'clock talking to you about computers and technology and what not to buy.
There you go.
When it comes to technology and computers for the holidays. And if you want to talk about what not to buy, or you want to talk about your particular technology or computer problem or issue, we've got lines open for you, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. And Mario actually came in on this side to talk a little bit about,
The word pimp, right?
The word pimp. Oh, yeah. So we had somebody who called up and said, for us older listeners.
Yeah, I heard you refer to as a stalker.
No, we won't.
Never mind.
So,
okay.
So she said, some of us that are a little older, we may not know what that word means. And I took that to
pimp.
Mean specifically that she didn't know what the word. You said the word pimp, which is sort of an equivalent of good.
Right. It's kind of like that when everybody said, oh, that's bad. And they meant it was good.
Right.
Pimp is the same kind of thing.
So now
I'm just young and hip.
Bad is good. Fat is good.
Right. That's fat.
Pimp is good.
Right.
Should every word just be, if you don't know what the word means, assume it to mean good?
I was trying to think of something witty to say back, and I drew a blank.
Wow.
That's fat.
Excellent.
Alrighty. Let's move right along.
Should we see about helping people?
Please.
People,
can we?
People, we will help.
Our peeps? That's pimp.
That's ugh, now you're stealing.
I'm getting
from,
nauseous.
You're now stealing from Gatos.
Oh, am I?
And if you do that, he will come
he
down
will
to the studio
royalty.
And...
7 to 10, 7 to 10, 7 to 10.
Yeah, he'll.
Now we're paid back.
You'll be
we're
in
good.
Big trouble.
Okay, well, I don't want that.
You stay clear of that.
I listen to him, so we don't want that.
Let's see if we can take care of Steve, who has questions about Mac viruses. Steve, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I read the other day that there's a virus. Somebody found a vulnerability with a new operating system, Leopard. And I know Macs haven't really had a problem or an issue, but as they become more popular and there are more out there, I mean, it's going to be something that hackers are going to look at. Are there vulnerabilities with Leopard, or are they targeting third-party applications, and how would they do that?
So, well, first of all, Leopard definitely has gotten some issues as of late and some pretty bad press about how they have written the new operating system. Overall, I've had no problems so far, but I have heard the rumor that there is a specific virus targeting their operating system. And you are correct when you're referring to it as, as their market share increases, the obviously demand or need for viruses, or I should say, somebody writing a virus for them, the percentage will increase just like the number of users that they have.
Sure.
This isn't the first. There's a common myth that that there are no viruses for Macs. That's not the case.
Right.
This is not the first Mac virus. This is not even the first virus in the Leopard world. It's just the first that's probably what would be considered a real threat. It's actually a Trojan, which is sort of a malware variant. What this thing specifically does is it goes into the operating system, and it changes something in it known as DNS servers. And what DNS servers do, they're basically ways of, rather than remembering a phone number, for example, you can instead call by something real convenient like a 602-277-KTAR. And those letters help us remember things better. And so on the Internet, people figured out real easily and quickly that these things called IP addresses, while that was fine for your average geek to try to deal with, it wasn't fine for your average Joe. And so they decided early on to have a naming system where we could use common words and letters to represent numbers, and these DNS servers are the things that make that translation. Well, this particular Trojan gets in and changes some of the basic functions inside of the infected machine so that those translations don't always occur to what you would expect, which means that you get sent to places that you didn't
don't
want to be.
Yeah.
And so that's if you do a quick Google search for leopard and then virus, you're going to find all kinds of write-ups and information about these things. The bottom line is like with most things, most viruses and most Trojans and most malware these days spread because of people. Mostly it's designed through social engineering. Mostly it's because you've opened attachments or you've not kept up to date with your OS updates with antivirus protection, these kinds of things. And so if you're following the basic rules of the road when it comes to the Internet, you ought to be in pretty good shape. And certainly the more people that kind of get on board with Apple's operating systems and Apple's products, the more people that write these kinds of things are going to target those because now they finally have an audience to. So.
Very good. Well, I'm gonna do that search on Google, leopard virus, and I'm sure I'll find it there. But that's been very helpful. I appreciate it.
No problem, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Have a great holiday season, Steve.
You too, buddy. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
I feel kind of generic saying a holiday season. I kind of want to say have a Christmas. And if I can't imagine that really offends somebody, but if it does, that's not what we intend to do. So if I accidentally say that...
See, now you're putting a disclaimer
I'm
on
sorry.
There. Well, and pre-apologizing. I love
I think
it.
You have to.
Okay. So.
So what?
I don't know.
What would be on your list of things that if you were out there... If you were... Let's say you were somebody's personal shopper.
Mm-hmm.
And they... wanted you to help them specifically with technology gifts, with computer gifts, with things in that realm, and things that you have plenty of experience and expertise in.
Oh boy,
pressure's
on.
What kind of stuff would you say? What's your top maybe one or two things that you would absolutely avoid and not get near that maybe they'd be pushing you to think about, but that you would steer people wide and clear of when it comes to gifts not to buy for the holidays?
Steering them clear. I would definitely still say the iPhone is one of them. Steer clear. If for no other reason for me, I like the design. I like the functionality of the unit. I can't stand the carrier. They're a pain, overpriced, that kind of thing. I'd stay probably stick away from that.
What do you think about HD radio? It's advertised so much, and I'm still trying to figure out. So radio, I don't listen to radio a whole lot at home.
Right.
I listen to it primarily in my car.
Of course.
And so when I'm driving in my car, I've got road noise and I've got, you know, whatever car stereos in my car. And I know some people have really high-end car stereos and they go nutso, and that's great. But I think for the majority of us, we have whatever we have. And we're listening to, well, I know everybody right now, they're listening to primarily talk radio. And, of course, it's 92.3 that they're listening to.
Of course.
And now that we've made the switch, and we made the switch at the beginning of last year to FM,
mm-hmm.
you got a huge upgrade. And do we really need to take that further?
So I think it's one of those things you're having to educate customers as to why there should be a demand rather than having a demand and creating a product to solve that demand. It's once we're interested enough to go in and see a demo, then maybe we'll understand the differences in the upgrade and where the value is in for us. I know for me, it was kind of like that XM or Sirius, the satellite radio stuff.
Not even tougher because now you're paying for a subscription.
Right.
And it's not even commercial free, which is weird. And
right. It was at the very beginning, and then they went, let's still make some more money, and they're still failing and whatever. But to me, it's, again, it's trying to, you know, manufacture a demand for something that really isn't there. Until there is, I don't really understand it.
Now, I was at a store the other day, and they had a display unit. It was an HD radio. And it said, if you tune it to this station, you'll learn all kinds of great things about HD radio. And they had some kind of like in-store broadcast thing that made it so that if you tune to that station, it would give you a rolling commercial about all the great things
right.
about HD radio. And then you could also tune to regular stations you can pick up in the Phoenix area.
Hmm.
And so I thought, well, here's a product that it's been out for a while. It's been hyped a ton. I don't get it. So maybe if I play with this a little bit, I'll get it.
So that's kind of my assumptions.
Yeah, I tuned to their infomercial station that they had that was pre-programmed in there, and it told me basically the same thing I hear in the commercials, which doesn't tell me any real benefit that I could figure out for me. And I'm not saying there isn't a benefit. I couldn't figure one out.
Right.
And so then I thought, well, I'm going to tune to some of these stations between the stations, these special enhanced versions.
What'd you find?
Well, I picked up radio stations, and they sounded like radio, and I did.
So there was no quality difference? I mean, when we went from, you know,
for me,
VHS
man.
To DVD, there was a gigantic increase. You could see the difference.
Yes. And not only that, but you could no longer you'd have to rewind. Oh. You could skip ahead. I mean, there was tremendous differences.
Completely.
From cassette to CD or, like you said, VHS to DVD.
You bet. Gigantic benefits.
Maybe there's something I'm missing. There's got to be something I'm missing.
Well, you did tune to one of the real stations.
I'm not quite sure because I don't know. It wasn't
overly
obvious.
It's not for you, Brandon.
To me.
Obviously, it's not technical enough.
Or it's lost on me somehow.
But if it were jumping out at you and you actually heard the value as to why, you know, I mean, there was a noticeable difference in quality, maybe you should drive under the Day Park Tunnel and actually hear the difference of when it goes out on you, you know what I mean? And maybe then if there's a difference in quality. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm kind of lost in the whole HD.
When I got to hunt that hard to find a benefit, that's
that's
on my list.
When I got a new radio in my deck, you know, just to pick up some hidden station. Okay. I think we proved our own point of that.
What about another Apple product? Apple TV.
Yeah, it's those wireless media devices. It allows you to, you know, use all your multimedia photos and videos and music and play it on your stereo at your television.
So we already have 100 of those. So this is just the Apple iteration.
It's aesthetically pretty. I mean, that's,
right.
That's Apple's gimmick is to be the most gorgeous, the best designed, and not have to buy any other people's software. Right? I mean, that's kind of the theory, at least.
That's the theory.
The theory.
Maybe that's where
it sure is pretty.
It sure is. And like the iPhone. On paper, that thing is cool as can be.
Oh, and it looks great. I'll give them it. The design of the thing is gorgeous. Functionality is kind of.
We're not quite there yet.
Yeah, no.
2.0, maybe.
Microsoft Surface, look out.
We're talking about the things not to buy. We're talking about all those slicked ads and those cool press releases and the things that you see out there trying to hype products that really, for us, kind of fall short, and we invite you to tell us about the products that fall short for you. 602-277-5827 or join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. And while you're doing that, we're going to take a quick break to caffeinate and, of course, get you caught up by way of Ray Garner in the KTR Traffic Center with what's happening on the streets. Ray. Christmas, says Dwayne. He says, just go ahead and say it. You don't have to say holidays.
Loud and proud, baby.
That's what he says.
All right, nice job.
So Dwayne has given permission for us to go ahead and go down that road and forget the political correctness that's gone too far.
Let's let the other people handle that topic.
Yeah.
I love that. Nice job, Dwayne.
And if you're offended, we're sorry. We're not setting out to offend anyone.
I am, but that's a different story.
Well, that's just Brian.
Just kidding.
If you want to join us online, we encourage you. Actually, we implore you to do so. It's datadoctors.com/radio. There's a link there to give feedback, and that's how we got Dwayne's. That's how we'll get yours as well. So go ahead and jump on in there, and lines are booked up. But they book up quickly. So we're going to come to a news break in just a bit here, and we're going to talk to a few folks, so don't go anywhere. But when we come to that news break, I encourage you to hang on through said news break, because we will have you on post-haste. After the news break, and you won't want to lose your slot there.
Nice.
Up next here on the computer corner, it's Nadine. And Nadine.
Hi.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and ho ho ho.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
You've gone completely over the top now.
I love it.
So do you have anything you can help us with on our list of things to add to the do not buy?
I absolutely do. I was watching a program one night, and they were showing a product called ID Vault. And I thought it was going to be a great item, so I ordered it for myself. I also ordered it for my kids for their computers to, you know, make sure all your information is protected. Well, what I found out after I put mine in, it started causing all types of problems with my system where I'm constantly having to reboot. So I've actually uninstalled the entire thing, and I'm still having problems with my system ever since. And it was a brand new system. I had only had it for 2 months, and it's not had a problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's make sure everybody understands what this thing is. It's sort of a product and sort of a service. It's a thumb drive, for lack of a better term, that you get, that you plug into your computer, and it has a software component and a hardware component. And it's supposed to allow you to store all your usernames and passwords and your identity information for where you bank and shop and dealing with your investments online and all those kinds of things, to keep it off your computer and store it away on this little thing that goes on your keychain, so that whether you're at home, at the office, or on a public computer somewhere, your identity is sort of tied into this device and not on that computer, thereby keeping you safe and, a side benefit, not having to remember all those dang passwords.
Correct.
So the device, whether or not it did what it was supposed to do, at least in Nadine's case, it seems to have caused some undesirable things. And did you talk to anybody there at their support area, or did you try that route?
I tried that route and did not get very much success there at all. They said, well, it must be the computer. And I'm like, I had not one bit. I mean, it was a brand new computer that I just bought at Best Buy, and I had not had one bit of problem. And then the other issue, too, with the ID vault is what they don't disclose on the package is you also have a yearly fee.
Yes, there is. That's why I said that. I started with it is a service and a product. And so if you don't pay the annual fee, Nadine, what happens?
I don't know what will happen if you don't pay that.
She didn't even get that far.
I had the first 30 days free. So okay. That wasn't a, you know, and after that, I mean, I couldn't take it back to the store where I purchased it or anything because I'd already opened it. So, but I immediately called my kids and asked them if they had opened theirs yet. Well, one of them had, that they had not installed it. So, you know, I told them, do not install it. You know, I'll be out the money, but that's okay because I sure don't want to mess their computers up.
Yeah, most certainly. That's a drag.
Now, to be fair, we sometimes see people that take brand new computers and take them home, and suddenly they have all kinds of problems and issues, and they blame it on something, and it turns out after working through it that it's not always the thing that gets the blame. So, you know, we don't know for sure if ID Vault's what caused your problem, but at least Nadine is saying that that's the product that she would avoid and not give somebody for the holidays.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the idea behind it's a wonderful idea.
Yes.
Most certainly.
You know, it's a fantastic idea. So, I mean, I was very excited about it. But, you know, it was after I loaded it in and started to use it that I found, you know, just where my system would lock up. And
to me, the most important part, when you're paying for a product and, more importantly, a ongoing service, the product, to me, is secondary than the service. And really, we talk about all the time when it comes to computers, but when it comes to any products, what you buy is not nearly as important as who you buy it from. And where they seem to me, have dropped the ball is you said that their support really wasn't able or willing to help you a whole lot.
Yeah, they weren't.
And that's a big problem.
And to be honest with you, I mean, the person I got couldn't speak very good English, so I don't know where they're based out of. So I don't think they were quite understanding me, and I was not understanding them.
That's a compound problem.
And that's where the real problem comes in, because even if the thing had caused an issue, as long as they're willing to help you with it, hey, I mean, things happen. Stuff
absolutely.
You know, stuff
absolutely.
Goes wrong. So, well, thank you, Nadine, for the call. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
And have a Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
We got a line open, and for those of you holding, Joanne, Gladys, David, Mark, sit tight. A line for you, 602-277-5827. When we come back, it's more of your calls, more of what not to buy for the holidays.
You touch a key, and it completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on FM News Talk 92.3. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors, Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Ken Colburn out on assignment. Instead, Brandon Disney joined by Brian Ellison and Mario Caldiera.
Yo, yo, yo.
How did I do in the last name?
Dad, you got it right the first time, this time.
I know. I always screw that up because I always forget it. The I before E, the E before I, and exactly how that goes. And I've got no excuse. I mean,
I just say, hey, Mario.
but after I say I'm Brandon pumpkin. Disney, Brian Ellison, I can't say I'm Mario.
That's true. You did that the first time. It was kind of funny.
It was uncomfortable,
it
wasn't it?
It was very uncomfortable.
And I was afraid
to say
you
forgot his last name.
No, I never forget it.
I know.
I'm afraid I'll mispronounce it.
Completely. And I don't blame you for being worried about that.
And to me, it's a respect thing. I want to pronounce it properly.
It's a respect thing.
It is.
I don't know about you, Mario, but I'm a little nauseous.
Oh, whatever. We're talking about what not to buy for the holidays, what not to buy for Christmas, what not to buy for Hanukkah, what not to buy, well, if you're looking at anything to buy, whether it's somebody's birthday or not. And, well, we invite you to talk to us about those things. We've got a full bank of calls as we speak, so you'll want to wait until you hear someone before you dial in at 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. And we'll talk to you about what things are on your list of not to buy or whatever your computer problems and or questions are. But I'm going to put Mario on the spot and ask. You know,
yeah.
Brian's given us kind of his one or two things that would be on his list of absolutely not to buy in the realm of technology, computers in general. And it can be home electronics, it can be appliances. I know these are things in your background besides computers. What kinds of things, if you're going to give people advice, to steer clear of this holiday season? Any ideas?
You know, I at this point, Brandon, I really don't have any items that I would steer clear of. One of the items that I did see that's quite interesting is the new Zune that's hit the market.
Okay.
It's going to be an awesome MP3 player. It's got some really nice features on it.
So the Zune's been out. It was out like just prior to last year's holiday launch.
Right.
And this year, are there some improvements to it that make this thing pimp? Which means we learned it last hour.
Yeah.
It's good.
Pimp, good, yes. It is smaller than the original Zune, which was one of the bad parts of the original one. It was big and clunky.
Right, right.
And the new one is much smaller, and it's a lot faster running the video.
Oh, yeah, there was a gigantic lag between with the first model. It was very, very slow in scrolling through the albums and that kind of thing. So I know there was a complaint about that.
Right, that's definitely something they worked on and improved.
Is it still a subscription-based product? So you pay the monthly fee and you can download all the music from Zune?
They still have those options, but one of the nice things about Zune, it's not as proprietary as the iPod. You can load your own music on there quite a bit easier than you can on the iPod.
Without the conversion and that kind of fun stuff.
If I'm getting somebody an MP3 player and that's already decided, and I'm trying to decide between the Zune or the iPod or some of the other brands out there, but let's just talk about those two. Then you're saying maybe the Zune needs a second look, where last year really it wasn't even consideration.
Yes.
Okay.
They've come out with a whole new range of colors, different sizes. Seems it's quite improved.
Right. Microsoft really made a concerted effort to improve the product because they made such a poor showing their first attempt.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice, did they? If they wanted to keep the product around, they had to improve it or it was going to go away.
Abolish it, right. Yeah, because it made such a poor showing in the first go-around. It did absolutely nothing for them. So
since the show topic is what not to buy, mm-hmm. way to go on giving us what to buy. Let's talk about something. I just recently did some appliance replacing in my house. And some of the shopping I did, I got tons and tons of varying opinions out there
mm-hmm.
on specifically what they now call a new kind of refrigerator called a French door refrigerator. This is where there's two doors on top, but it's a refrigerator, the whole upper part, right? And there's just two doors to make it open wide, and then a single drawer on the bottom for the freezer. And some people saying no, that absolutely was a poor, bad design. You didn't want to do that. Other people saying no, it was a great design. And then when it came to that bottom pull-out freezer thing, some people said, well, it needed to have a solid bottom instead of just a wire basket because you lost all your cooling as soon as you opened that door if it didn't have the solid bottom. And other people said, no, that's false. Lots of stuff out there, and I know that you used to work in that world, so...
Well, I do agree with you and the part of the basket. Because frost you will get a little bit of ice and a little bit of droppings. One product that I will definitely recommend taking a look at, the LG actually has a plastic enclosed bucket, so you don't have that problem.
That's the direction you steered me, and that's what I ended up doing when I was doing this craziness. So that's we're still back to the what to, but that around, so the what not to buy, if you're looking at one of these kind of new refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
And so you thought this was a computer show.
No, I knew better.
Maybe take into consideration that things fall through baskets and things don't through something solid. And I already can see by using the thing in my house that if every time I pulled that out, you know, especially in my house, I got kids, I got popsicles, those things easily would slip through that basket and be falling on the floor and getting stuck down below. And What a mess.
Definitely.
Completely. So the what not to buy side of that is avoid those things with the basket if you're getting that bottom mount freezer kind of thing. And I think when I was looking, it was LG and Samsung had a model that also had a solid bottom.
Solid. Correct.
Exactly. A couple others had like a little tray that would sit in the bottom, so it was sort of a happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
But lots and lots and lots of them had this just wireframe basket thing. And
most of those are the I think price point has a big thing to do with that as well. They, for whatever reason, they...
How many more dollars does it cost to put a plastic basket or a plastic tray than a...
I'm not a manufacturer.
Dude.
Not necessarily. If I may touch back on that, because, mm-hmm. you know, I've actually, from being in the industry for a while, I found that the higher price point ones were the ones with the metal baskets.
Really?
Yes.
Craziness.
I was completely wrong. I love it. It goes against everything that, you know, I mean, it's just not right.
Well, we're going to talk more about what not to buy for the holidays, and we'll keep Mario and Brian around for that. And thanks, guys, for helping out with that. But let's see if we can help some more people out on the phones. And we'll start with Gladys. Gladys, welcome to the Computer Corner. And thank you for holding, by the way.
Oh, hi. I'm half listening in the phone and the radio at the same time.
Did we catch you off guard, Gladys? All right, let's start over. And we'll go next to Gladys. Gladys, welcome to the Computer Corner. It's live radio. Welcome.
Thank you.
There we go.
I want to thank you for that newsletter that talked about the Trojan horse for the Macs.
Oh, yeah?
And guess what I got? A letter telling me that I couldn't, they couldn't deliver my email, which I never sent. And it's from, it's a reporting from MTA, DNS, mail, and it's one.darkhorse.com.
Okay, so it's...
And the word DS scares me because after I got your letter, I went to Macworld to see, you know, any information on it, and there's two big articles on it, how you can find it, but it's good for the people with Leopard. They can find if it's on there.
Right, so we gave you a heads up first, and that's what you were calling to thank us for?
Yes, I am.
Well, hey, thank you for thanking us.
But...
Is there anything we can help you with, Gladys?
Yes, help!
Here we go, all right.
I got a... on November the 5th, I got this thing that they can't, deliver my mail, and I never sent this thing.
Okay, well, this is something that happens all too often in the universe of email, and I know
and
you...
I don't even use that email. It's the .Mac that I got.
Right, no, I understand. It's you're looking at the byproduct of something called email address spoofing, and what I'll tell you what I'll do for you here. We're going to talk about that specifically when we come back from the break because it's a big, big thing that's happening, and it's been happening for a while. So if you'd like to hold or if you'd like to just listen offline, we can talk about that, and maybe you'll get a better understanding. But I'm going to pop you on hold. We'll talk a little bit off the air because we've got to get caught up with some traffic and weather. And for that, it's Ray Garner in the KTR Traffic Center to help us find out more about what's happening on the streets. Ray.
Nice.
I feel like singing the blues.
Man, that's good stuff.
Hey, if you've missed any part of the broadcast and you want to get yourself caught up, we invite you to join us online at datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section. You'll see links to give us feedback, including a place to post your own thoughts, comments, questions, issues, concerns, and whatnot.
Whatnot?
In our blog. And you can do that, and your stuff shows up right away. A blues version of this song. Interesting. You also see a preview of our Geek Speak of the Week, which is coming up oh so shortly in the show. Mario's going to bring us that. And you'll see links to previous shows. You can look at the resources and listen to the audio archives in their entirety. There's years and years and hours, probably at least hundreds of hours worth of content there for you, all waiting, all free of charge. Also, there's a place to subscribe to our newsletter, and we'll talk about a few of the items in the news in just a bit as well, because there's some things out there that you probably want to know about when it comes to technology in the news. So subscribe.
Please.
Absolutely.
Awesome, awesome stuff there.
Brian begs you.
Oh, I implore you.
There are quality hours spent each and every week putting that stuff together for you to try to help you avoid the pitfalls of technology. And technology doesn't have to be one big pitfall if you're following the rules of the road. So we try to help you navigate those things. And Brian's driving a bus, I think, in his own mind right now.
Oh, completely, Brandon. I really thought you were a bus driver for a minute.
You thought so, huh?
Completely.
We promised Gladys from the last call before we went to break that we would talk about email spoofing. And what's happened to Gladys is that she's getting what looks like to be a bounced message. And for people that have been on the internet doing email for any amount of time, you know that sometimes you'll send a message out and a few minutes later, a few seconds later, it comes back and says, hey, I couldn't deliver that thing. And then it usually gives you some cryptic message as to why it couldn't deliver that doesn't make sense to a whole lot of people, but that's all right. But you've seen that, you've experienced that. Now, when you're trying to send something and you get that response, well, that's because usually you misaddressed, their email address is no longer valid, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But when you didn't try to send and you're getting that kind of message, what that generally means is that something has spoofed your email address. A service somewhere has, on somebody's computer, probably somebody that has you in their address book, or for those people who like to take an email message and forward it on to a billion people and put all those email addresses in there.
I love those.
Those email addresses now are on a lot and lots of billions of people's computers, right? And it doesn't take much for an infected computer to go and scour looking for things that look like email addresses. And because there's an at symbol and a dot in there, it's not hard to figure out what an email address is if you're a computer program, and to collect all those up. And then when we get infected, we send our infection out to everybody in that list, because generally people are more likely to open an attachment from somebody that they know, which is why we always say never open attachments, especially from people you know. So what Gladys was most likely experiencing is the result of that process that has occurred, that some machine that's infected somewhere is sending as if it's her, and she's getting the bounced response to that. A little bit confusing, a little bit complicated. The bottom line is, there's
don't
not
open
much
attachments.
Well, yeah, there's not much you can do about that particular thing.
Right.
And it generally doesn't mean anything at all in the range of you're infected or you have a problem. That doesn't mean you shouldn't still be cautious and still follow the basic rules of the road. So that was my advice to Gladys. That's my advice to you. And with that, I think we're going to move on and talk to some other people.
Good advice.
And see if we can help out. Trying to figure out here who's up next and who's been waiting the longest. And I believe it's Joanne. Joanne?
Yes, it is.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. And how can we help?
Well, on this very day of my life, I think Vista computer might be something not to buy. But I just am frustrated with it. And wondering if I can still take it back. Wondering if Vista is something that you should just wait for. I'm having a real serious problem with the picture part of it. And I'm willing to learn, and I've been on tech support. I don't like at all the way the picture and emailing and handling pictures works with Vista. Is it a learning curve for me, or is it something that is a common problem?
Wow, that is a great question. So it's probably somewhat of a learning curve, but at the same time, you could be experiencing a problem with Vista. May I ask you a couple of questions about the computer?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get that computer?
I got it at Costco.
Okay. So you are one of the lucky recipients, at least unless they've changed to their concierge service, that they probably would exchange as long as it's within the first 30 days, maybe even 60 days for Costco.
Uh-huh.
But from a manufacturing standpoint, you're probably, now that you own it, you're probably better off sticking with it. And Brandon may be able to agree or disagree a little bit better with me. But
well, I think it gets to a bigger point. And so Vista may or may not be to blame for the problems that you're experiencing, because Vista is really only the operating system, and how you deal with photos may or may not be a part of that. And so really what has to happen long before you buy that computer is somebody needs to figure out what are you going to use it for and what are your needs. And then we try to match those up with a computer that makes sense. And oftentimes, you know, we're still selling probably 75% of the machines we still have Windows XP, because that better suits people's needs that we're selling them to. And so if you don't mind holding on just a bit longer here, Joanne, I'm going to talk to you a little bit off the air and see if we can't help find out what some of your needs are and find out if Vista really is something that you should be waiting for. Welcome back to the Computer Corner right here on FM News Talk 92.3. Brandon Disney joined alongside across the console from Mr. Brian Ellison.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you coming down to help out with, help me out, but
always
more importantly to help the people out.
Let's not get crazy. I'm probably helping you, but not them.
No, I think you might have helped a few of them. You talked about some things not to buy. Which is, by the way, the theme of today's show. And if you want to catch up on some of the resources, the links, the information, tell them where they can do it.
Would that be datadoctors.com?
Yes, it would be.
Oh, there you go.
You click on the radio show section, and those links and those things will be posted there. I told you, and I think I freaked out Mario, that the Geek Speak of the Week would be something that he'd be bringing to you this week, and then he scurried over to the other side of the glass to answer more of your calls and get things kind of queued up. So, without further ado, we'll bring you this week's Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, and I do mean each and every week, we try to bring you a bit of terminology from the world of geekdom, from the world of nerdtabulous, from the jerks, the nerds, the guys that try to talk down to you, look down on you, because they think they know more than you. And in fact, probably in technology, they do know more, but they shouldn't thrust it upon you in that way. They try to talk down to you, and we call that geek speak. And so we try to bring you some of that speak so that you know what it means. People. Yeah, so you
nice.
Can, instead of having to feel like, you know, like the trash they try to make you feel like, you say, hey, nerd.
Take that.
I know your junk. I know what you're talking about. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is jitter.
Jitter.
Jitter. From those of you who yield, no, herald from the way back days. There was a dance called the Jitterbug. That's what Mario was thinking. I saw him doing his little dance over there on the other side of the glass.
He remembers those days.
That's why we need the camera in the studios, my friend, so that people can see Mario doing the Jitterbug on the other side of the glass. And Pete looking blank-faced, always ever serious about his job, concentrating and focusing on picking up a satellite feed for something or another. Yeah, I can't even break his concentration. No. Jitter, the choppy sound that is sometimes experienced when talking to someone that's using voice over IP or VoIP phone systems. That jitter is that, well, sometimes happens on cell phones, too. You're talking to someone, and then they come back to you.
Yeah.
That sound.
Where'd they go?
You like that? It's almost like the Transformer sound, huh?
You know, actually, it's probably closer to the Transformer sound than what the phone sounds like.
Yeah. So that's known in the world of geekdom as jitter.
Jitter.
And now it's something that you know, too, so you can...
Man, I definitely feel more empowered to battle you on a regular basis. I mean,
battle
now there's...
me?
I'm just kidding. Sorry. Okay.
We're talking about the things not to buy for the holidays. We've got 5 reasons not to buy an iPhone under this week's links.
Shocking.
SmartMoney.com's 5 gadgets not to buy, which actually 5 is spelled the number 5 IVE.
I think
somebody might have been tired when they were writing. And so we've got that. We've got the why you shouldn't buy an Xbox 360 arcade. Not just a regular Xbox 360, but Microsoft has had more than their fair share of problems with the Xbox platform, with some overheating issues, with something in the realm known as the Ring of Death.
Right.
And they've fixed most of those problems, so the new boxes and the new ones coming out are taken care of. They also kind of retroactively went and warrantied lots of things.
Yeah.
And so there's some specific things having to do with the arcade version of the Xbox 360 you might want to avoid. There are also just a regular standard, kind of what they call an Xbox gaming platform. There's also the Halo Edition and a bunch of others that don't share in the problem, but we've got links to that. Don't drink the HD Tuner Kool-Aid. We talked about HD radio and what's this all about, and we've got information more about that. Amazon's futuristic way to read books. Some, a product called Kindle.
Kindle, huh?
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of sort of like a tablet-looking device that's made specifically to read e-books, but only e-books published by Amazon. And they're selling the device for a fairly low price. They're probably losing money on it.
Right.
But the catch is that it's got a subscription that you have to pay for
to
keep using it. And then, of course, you can only view the e-books that you get from them. It's in a proprietary format and, you know, all kinds of interesting things. So this thing, the thought kind of occurs that if you're looking at a technical manual of some sort or you're doing something in a more technical nature, yeah, this may make some sense. But what about that novel that you want to kind of curl up in front of your fireplace in your big easy chair and read? And I don't know that this tablet device is going to be the most comfortable thing to hold in your lap. You've all had a notebook or a laptop computer that gets really warm and maybe not such a great thing. So not quite sure that's ready for prime time. We got information about that and a bunch more stuff. We've also got links to past shows. We got links for you to give feedback here live in the studio. We've got all kinds of stuff for you, so check it out, datadoctors.com/radio. With that, we're going to jump back to the phones and see if we can help out more people. And I believe up next, it's Jason in Phoenix. Jason, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Yes. I got the Acer laptop.
Okay.
And I've got a problem. It says Internet Explorer cannot be displayed at the web page.
Okay. So when you're when you get this kind of real generic error message, what it means is something has happened where the browser, in this case Internet Explorer, can't display web pages, and generally it's going to be caused by a connection problem. So what kind of, how do you connect to the Internet with this thing?
It's hardwired.
Hardwired to?
The telephone jack.
Okay.
DSL.
You have DSL.
Yeah.
So we come from the telephone jack in the wall to something called a DSL modem or a DSL router. And then from there you plug into your laptop? Is that kind of the chain of events here?
Yes. And then it was working yesterday, the Internet. And as soon as I had the antivirus hooked up and the spy sweeper hooked up, now my Internet doesn't work.
So as soon as you installed these new products, suddenly you have no ability to connect to the Internet.
Yes.
So it seems to me that there might be some kind of loose tie in there. Have you tried calling your Internet service provider, in this case probably Quest?
Yeah, I have called Quest, and Quest came out, and the computer locked up the first day when they went and hooked me up on this. And it keeps locking up.
Okay, so you've probably... Did you put the antivirus and anti-spyware software in there to try to solve some kind of problem you were having? I'm guessing what generally happens. We see people with this kind of issue all the time. They're having problems with their computer. They go out and buy software thinking that that's going to solve the problems. And if your computer's already having issues, that's not the best time to start installing things. That's the worst time. And so the problems become worse until really the computer's unusable, and that's when it's not too late, but now it's really time for you to have somebody figure out what's really wrong with that computer.
Well, we bought it brand new, and then they told me to put the antivirus in it and the spyware sweeper, and we had Best Buy do that, the Geek Squad.
Okay.
And after they did that, we've had some of the problems with it before that, too.
So you bought the computer after they did some things to it that they recommended needed to be done. It had problems. Seems to me that someone's probably pretty responsible for that, because if somebody brought a computer to one of our shops and asked us to work on it, and when it left, it had problems. First of all, I'd be having some words with whoever was running that store, and they wouldn't be running that store for very long. They kept that up.
Okay.
Because that's not the way you keep customers. But maybe that's not really important to whoever. But in my world, that's something that's pretty important. And as a consumer, I would absolutely expect that they would either do one of two things. Either fix the problems that they've created, or refund your money so you can pay someone else to fix the problems that they're unable or unwilling to fix.
Okay.
And so it sounds like to me, you know, a phone call, or probably more better than that, is going into that location where you had things done and asking to talk to a manager, and don't talk to anybody else. Don't waste your time until you can get that manager. Let them know and show them, get your receipts, get your facts in order before you go in.
Okay.
And be calm and be cool.
And how long ago was this that you actually purchased the computer and had the work done?
This last week.
Perfect. Okay, so you're fine. You're within their 14 days.
So the sooner the better. You can get back in there.
ASAP.
But go back in there and let them know, and let them know what your expectation is, which is that this thing shouldn't lock up and shouldn't have issues and should be able to connect to the Internet, because that's what a new computer should do. And by the way, I bought into what you told me I needed with this software. So if it's caused a problem, I expect that you'll refund my money on that and the service charges and whatever the case may be.
Okay.
And if they're unable or unwilling to fix your thing, then you can take your dollars and go somewhere where somebody is able and willing.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jason. Good luck with that. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Unfortunately, a story we've heard a million times.
But what's good in Jason's case is that he's not waiting until, you know,
14 days is up.
Well,
yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, people will come into our shop sometimes 6 months after the fact. Okay. And I haven't used my computer a whole lot at all since I got it back from you guys. But,
right.
You know, and we try to give the benefit of the doubt. And 6 months, guys, it's really, really, really a long time.
Yeah.
You've got to, A, when you get your computer worked on someplace.
Go take it for a test drive when you go home.
Don't even wait till you get home.
Yeah.
Tell them you want to take it for a test drive before you leave the store and before you've paid them the final amount. That's a part of our normal practice,
right?
Because that's the right thing to do. We ought to be able to prove to you that we've not only solved your problem, but we've fully satisfied you before you've paid us.
Very true.
And any place that isn't willing to do that is not a place you should be doing business with. So not only let them, but make them walk you through what they've done and prove to you and let you test drive to make sure that the thing is doing what you expect it to do before you leave. And if it has problems, that should become their problem. Yeah, if they created problems.
Whether that's in the home or in your business or in a place of, you know, a brick-and-mortar store, that's a reasonable expectation regardless of, you know, where you were or had the service done. That should be happening.
But if you end up getting out of there or they get out of there, whatever the case may be, and you find problems afterwards, the sooner you can talk to someone about these things, and if it's hours is best, days is okay, weeks is getting on a stretch, and months is really tough,
yeah.
The sooner you can talk to someone and try to, you know, try to document what's happened, what's occurred, keep your paperwork in order, and generally you're going to be in pretty good shape.
And specifically with that retailer that he mentioned, you've got 14 days after that, you're going to be told to leave the store.
Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Yeah, definitely. Time is of the essence in that case.
It should be in almost any of these cases.
You're right.
The more time that goes on, the harder it is to deal with this kind of stuff. That's just the reality. So.
Most certainly.
We're going to take a quick time out here. We've got Peter. We've got David. We got room for you. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Our time out here includes a traffic and weather break. And for traffic and weather, it's none other than Ray Garner, again in the KTAR Traffic Center, to get us caught up. Ray. Happy holidays, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is.
Hanukkah.
How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic.
We're talking about what not to buy. Yes, you heard right, what not to buy when it comes to technology gifts for the holidays, if you missed any part of the show.
So what's the one, you never have actually said what your one not to buy gift would be. What's yours?
You know, mine really was that the gift card to the store that's no longer, but that kind of got let out of the bag fairly early on. You know, so it seems like HD TVs this year are huge. Everybody's talking about a plasma and an LCD, and people use those two words interchangeably as if they're the same.
Right.
And they're not.
Not even close.
And I guess if I was going to pick a what not to buy, it wouldn't surprisingly be that you shouldn't buy one of those.
Really?
It would be that you shouldn't buy the cheapest of one of those.
Boy, I learned that the other day, let me tell you.
So I think that's a hot item this year, and I know I picked up an item in that category this year, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And my advice is when you go shopping for that thing, A, try to get the kind of Secret Santa that I had that hooked you up with the absolute craziest deal you've ever heard of in your entire life, or shy of that.
Yeah.
Go out there and you know, I would never recommend you buy top of the line. I would never recommend you buy bottom of the line. You buy middle of the road. You buy best bang for the buck. And so when you go into the store to buy this thing, I don't care what store you go into. If you want to go into one of the discounters, that's great. Don't buy the cheapest one they have.
And be prepared to spend 10 to 20 and even 30% of the price of the television in cables because they make a difference.
And not just cables.
You
don't just stop when you buy
everything.
This thing. Most people don't think about, once I got this new TV, well, what does everybody want to do with it?
Exactly.
Mount it on the wall.
Yeah, that too.
Those mounts, you ready for an education? Those things cost hundreds of dollars.
Well, and on top of that, one thing, if you're a male and you've got a wife, and us in the room, we do, if you want to encourage the sale or the acquisition of one of these lovely expensive items,
right,
go look at the furniture first. Because women care about the furniture more than they care about the television. It's all about the aesthetics. It's what they want and what they care about first. So do that if you're really going to try to get her to co-sign the purchase.
Yes. By the way, I did quite a bit of shopping for the thing to mount it on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That thing varies in price greatly.
Oh, boy, do they ever.
And if you want to be able to have something other than just a fixed mount, the best deal by far for the best mount was sitting it in stock over at Costco, so if you have a membership.
You told me that, and that thing just sounds
amazing. It was like half of what I saw the same thing for anywhere else.
Oh, I
so
think
even
you
if you don't
like
have
25%.
A membership over there, it might even be worth the price of the membership just
for
that one.
$50 Because you literally, I think, what were you saying? It was $200 for that mount? That's a $1,400 mount at some of the comparable retailers.
I saw it as much as like $700 and as low as about $400 or so. So, you know, this place
is ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous and then some. And Brian is completely right about the cables that you see everybody on all the front of these devices, something advertised called HDMI.
Oh, man.
Which stands for?
Yeah, high definition medium insert.
Media interface.
Interface. Yeah, it's very close.
But that HDMI cable.
Thanks for putting me on the spot, dude.
It's what we do around here.
It's hot.
That cable is like $50.
That's for the cheap one.
Yes,
the
real
short, one that
one.
Makes a big difference. You're going to spend upwards of $150 for the cable. And I'm telling you, if you don't, you are wasting your money on the television. It's that important.
So go do your research before you do this. Go
Please.
Check online. Use some of the features of Google to do searches, and then click on Google products and see who has the best deals. Not necessarily that you're going to buy it, because I wouldn't recommend necessarily buying something like this from an online place and having it shipped.
Oh, no.
But so that when you walk into the store, you know what the best deals are. You know what's kind of average out there, and you have some room to negotiate, because a lot of these places that you're going to, the price that's posted isn't necessarily always what you're going to pay. So
it never is in home theater departments. Everywhere across the country, they're known as the flea market for a reason. And please, whatever you do, ask the salesperson that you're working with if they're on commission first and foremost, because you'll be able to gauge what kind of a deal you're going to get. And plus the validity of the information given to you.
Sure.
Anyway.
Or get yourself a friend like I got.
Yeah, no kidding.
That found you some unbelievable
deal. That friend is, I think, owed a dinner or something, isn't he?
At least. And then some. Again, if you missed any part of the show, we've got you covered. We got your back. Datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section, you'll see the links. And within the next, day or two, you'll see all the audio posted up there for you to listen to in its entirety through our audio archives. We've got years and years worth of them there, so check them out. Peruse them at your leisure.
Please.
If you're not already subscribed to our newsletter, there's no ads, no commercials, no spam, no garbage. It's all just great information, and it's in your inbox each and every week. You can subscribe through our website, and we highly encourage you to do that. And but we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Next week, I believe Mr. Colburn's in here. I don't know if I'll be around as well, but we're here through the holiday season, keeping you covered, making sure you know what you need, and you make sure to